We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The 14th, 15th, and 16th verses of the 3rd chapter of the Gospel of John. Now remember, Jesus Christ is in conference with Nicodemus, who came to see him at night. He's discussing with Nicodemus the problems, the spiritual problems. Nicodemus wanted to know something that he couldn't know until he got right with God. There are things that you can never know until you know God. Now you can know about God. You can know science. You can know literature. You can know history. You can know something about astronomy. You can turn the telescope to the sky and measure the distance between stars. But you cannot know spiritual things until you know God. Unless you know him, you cannot know spiritual things. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot do it because these things are spiritually designed. Without music in your soul, as I've said so many times, you can't respond to music. Unless you have an artistic mind, you cannot respond to art. Unless you have a business mind, you cannot have any affinity for business. You have to have a mind to understand things. You can't draw a check at the bank without information. You've got to know banking business to go down and cash a check. You've got to have some money in the bank. You've got to be able to write your name or cash a check. You can get the information, but you have to know how. Now, you can't know spiritual things without knowing God. Now, let's understand that. You know, it's very sad when you think about some people that think they're so smart. Men searching to try to find God and think they're very wise men. When the humblest people in the world have known more about God than anybody else, the lowly and the humble. When Jesus was here, the common people heard him gladly. The plain, ordinary, everyday people. It's always been so. Not many of the other crowds called. Not many of them. Doesn't say not any. The rank and file of people that come to Jesus Christ are just plain folks like you and me. You know, the older I get, the more respect I have for the average, ordinary Christian that's humble before God. You know, some of the most intelligent people I've ever known have been people that you never heard anything about, had such good sense, they had such rugged character, they had such understanding minds. So Jesus is talking to Nicodemus now, a scholar, a great scholar. Everybody, I imagine, would respect him. And they'd salute him. He had a doctor's degree, we would imagine, of some kind. And they called him rabbi. And here he is now, coming around there, talking to the Son of God about the simplest fundamental truth, that you can't see without eyes, and you can't hear without ear, and you can't understand without an understanding heart. Now, that's a fundamental truth. You know, don't let these worldly people disturb you, high-sounding, worldly, worldly people who strut their scholarship and stick out their chest and rear back as if they knew something. They don't know anything that's worth knowing. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. He has no eyes to see. Do you ever notice how Jesus kept appealing to people that had eyes to see and ears to hear? So he's talking to Nicodemus about that. Now, he goes on to say, I'll tell you a simple little story and explain it to you, how simple it was. Now, Nicodemus knew about the serpent being lifted up. The people were bitten by serpents, and Moses put up, God told him to lift up a brazen serpent. And anybody looked at it now got well if he was snake bitten. See, looked up there, and there he was, and his faith, that's salvation by faith. Fellow refused to look at it, he'd have died from his bite. See, we looked up. Now then he said, as Moses lifted up his servant, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That is Jesus Christ. Son of God must be lifted up. Now, in other words, here's the antidote. This brazen serpent didn't have any sting. This brazen serpent didn't have any poison in it. It was lifted up there as an emblem, as a symbol. The Son of God who someday is to be lifted up on the cross. It was a simple lesson, a demonstration, a child evangelism picture, so to speak, for people who thought they were intelligent, lifted up there. They looked at it and got well. Now, as Moses did that, so must the Son of God be lifted up. So must the Son of God be lifted up. What's that? The Son of Man? So must. In other words, that's the only way. There's no other way. This is the only way. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, the only way to God. He's not a way. All these religions now trying to get together and bring everybody together, you know, and get a little something out of Mohammedanism, something out of Hinduism, something about out something else, and something from Christianity, and put them all together and give a beautiful, wonderful sob. And we're headed that way. That's the way they're going now. Here's a modernist comes along here and says, now take our liberalism and take this little conservatism, cram them together, and we'll all support the same thing, the same missionaries, and so forth and so on. One of those fellows said to me not long ago, I said, no, I wouldn't support any of your missionaries. He said, why? Well, I said, you've got folks there that don't believe the gospel. Well, he said, I know that, but said, we folks support yours. We support the Orthodox people. Why not you go along and support us? Well, I said, if you ought not support Orthodox people if they're not right, you ought not send a man with a message to China or Africa or somewhere unless it's a gospel message. So, if you want to support my crowd, all right, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to support your crowd because I'd be sinning, see? I'd be sinning. And you can't make me a deal that if I'll stand by your crowd, you stand by my crowd. That's a political deal that doesn't move in the realm of religion. Doesn't belong there. Now, here you are, men and women. Here we all are. You, some of you Baptists, some of you Methodists, Presbyterians, whatever you are. Now, if you're a Christian, a real born-again Christian, you know, you and I understand each other. You don't have any trouble with born-again people. It's always simple. You know, people talk to me, you know, about I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm this, I'm that. I never ask a man if he is a Christian that ever answered and said, oh, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian. I never had a man answer that way in my life. It was spiritual. If he's spiritual, the first thing he said, oh, yes, I'm trusting Jesus. See? See? Now, you watch him. The next time you ask a fellow if he's saved, and he says he's a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Methodist or Episcopalian or something like that, you can figure he's not spiritual. You can just figure he's not a spiritually minded man. He wouldn't put it that way. You know, we gather around Jesus Christ. See? You know, Baptists believe certain things if they're good Baptists. Methodists believe certain things, they're good Methodists, and so on and so on and so on. But, you know, you're not saved by believing certain things. You're saved in by believing in somebody. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's where you're saved. You're not saved by believing in a church, or believing in baptism, or believing in something else. You are saved because you accept the Savior. Christianity is Christ. Christ is Christianity. You have salvation because you have the Savior. He that hath the Son hath life. Moses lifted up with his servant. Will this even so much the Son of Man be lifted up? That whosoever... Now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that whosoever does what believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? What's that? What have I got to do? I got to believe in him. You mean anybody? Yes, anybody. Whosoever, that's what Jesus said now. He's telling Nicodemus, yeah, you highbrow religionists. That doesn't make any difference. You know, Jesus told the publicans and the harlots and that they would get into the kingdom of heaven ahead of the religious leaders. Oh, how straight he talked to them. Oh, how wonderful he was. He never dodged. He never trimmed. He faced them and told them the facts. You know something? When the light of God's judgment breaks on this world, you will have some great surprises. You're going to find people in the world that you thought was so wonderful and good and pastor so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. They've never been born again. They've never been born again. Listen, you can't put something over on a born-again Christian. I've known Christians that would start in and try to take up some cult or religious system. And they'd start to read it and they didn't know much, but they'd say, that isn't right. That isn't right. You know, the heart has an understanding. There's something that you know. They that know God hear us. They that love God speak off one to another. There's something in the heart that binds them together, makes them understand. Now, I said, whosoever believe in him? In Christ. Should not perish, but have what? everlasting life. Now that's the way. That's the only way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him, whosoever, underscore whosoever, don't put your name in the place of whosoever, that your name might be somebody else's name, the same name you have. But as long as you keep whosoever there, that lets you in. That lets a white man in, a black man, a red man, a yellow man. That lets a rich man in, a poor man. That takes the educated in and the uneducated. That whosoever is so inclusive, all inclusive. Now Moses lifted up the serpent. So God's Son was lifted up. That what? That whosoever believed in him. What does that mean, means to trust him? What does it mean to trust him? Turn yourself over to him. I'm trusting Jesus Christ. I've been preaching for all these many years, but I'm not trusting anything I ever did. If I lived a million years and preached every day of my life and led millions and millions of people to Jesus Christ, he wouldn't buy me any house up in heaven. I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not trusting anything I've ever done, anything I can do. I'm not trusting the church or any other church. I'm trusting Jesus Christ. Salvation's in Christ. It's nowhere else. It's not in any organization. It's not in any secret order. It's not in any order that isn't secret. It's not in any ordinance of man. Salvation's in Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now that's in the Bible. That's clear and simple and direct. What this poor, miserable world needs is not more churchianity. It needs more of Christ. What we need is not more social service. We need more of Christ. We put the emphasis everywhere. We're trying to blame the world, customs, and conditions for the sinful hearts of man. Man made conditions. Man produced what's in this world. The natural man, the sinful man, the educated man. In many ways, education's been a curse. The World War I was brought on by the false philosophy in the universities of Germany. What a world we're in. Many women, play it safe. If your children haven't been saved, get them to trust Christ. Let them have a Christian experience. What happened to me when I was 11 years old, the little country boys held me through the years. And you can accept him today. And some of you are under conviction. Know what you ought to do. You trust him. Our Heavenly Father, help somebody to do that now. Spirit of God, speak to somebody. Whosoever, believe it. Help somebody say, I'm one of the whosoever. I'll trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Hear us in this prayer. We pray in his precious name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.